Let me give you some good news while we're getting started on the message. See if that won't do it. Aha! So, I'm sitting there and three of you are yawning and I'm going to preach on fully alive. I'm telling you. I do have to share with you that it is such a joy to be pastor of a church where you can have a little levity and a little fun. And I'm always reminded of the church where the lady died during the service. She just died right during the service. They called the rescue squad, and rescue squad got there and had to send for backup. They carried 11 out before they found out that some of those were still alive and got to the right one. Fully alive! I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, to the 28th chapter. In verses 1 through 8 is the story of the resurrection. For you see, it's not just a one-time event, but every Sunday we are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. In Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came in and rolled the stone away and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow." Verse 4 says that the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. "Then the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who's been crucified.'" And we talked about last week that they were not going there expecting him to be resurrected. They were going there to anoint the body. But then we find out, "I know that you are looking for Jesus who's been crucified." Verse 5, verse 6 is, "He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he is lying." Verse 7 says, "They were then to go and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear, great joy, and ran to report it to the disciples." Can you imagine if you were the Marys or even the disciples, can you imagine what they went through during those moments? They go to anoint a body, and they're in grief and in sadness, and then they get the news. They get the news that Jesus has risen. Jesus is risen. And so they began that day something that every believer should experience, and that is what I call being fully alive or resurrection living. And as we look at that, we find that what they had, what then drove them, what took those 12 as they replaced Judas, what took them and the women and made them a force of just a few people that literally changed the world, was the word passion. How many of you are NASCAR fans? Seriously now, raise your hand. Who you like?
Jimmy Johnson.
Chase Elliott.
Chase Elliott. No, Earnhardt. I like Dale Gordon till he got, and Jeff Earnhardt. That's what I like. Some of y'all missed that.
I didn't miss
Dale Gordon and Jeff Earnhardt. Okay, that'll get a fight started. And you're passionate about. Well, I am. And people go, "Well, you're a Carolina fan." No, I'm a Carolina fanatic. Okay. Summer here is a Duke fanatic. And some of the other, you know, and we have a passion for that. And it was interesting last night that as I was watching the ball games, and as you watch soccer matches and you watch NASCAR, 150,000 people will show up in Charlotte and just watch a guy making left turns. You know what I mean? Is it left or right turns? I'm serious. I don't follow NASCAR. Left turns. And they will go absolutely berserk. They are fully alive. I remember being in stadiums where it was just crazy. You know, passion is something in our world that everybody talks about nowadays. In fact, if you were to go on the internet and type in the word passion, then be careful you get the right not passionate or you get the right place, but you will find there are books. People are passionate about everything. There's actually a series of books on being passionate about steam. I'd like to be the guy getting the royalties off those books, wouldn't you? I'm serious. How to be passionate about steam? People are passionate about anything. Kumquats, kiwis, you name it. They're just passionate. Well, everybody recognizes passion, and we are passionate about a lot of things, but there's something that we're not passionate about enough. It is amazing to me, and this is not me. It went back to Dr. Dylan Smiles when I was first at Southeastern Seminary studying for my master's in divinity and doing my seminary work to learn to do what I've been doing now. And Dr. Miles mentioned that we will fill up the Superdome in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and there'll be millions watching on TV, and they'll pay millions and millions of dollars for commercials, and we will scream, and we will holler, and we will fuss, and we'll throw our shoe at the TV or whatever else, or if we're there in person, 70,000 people losing their mind for their team. Jesus believe that we ought to live with passion. But we get in the church, and I'm going to tell you it's wrong. I know you've been taught it, and you'll disagree, and I don't care if you disagree. We can disagree. We'll just have to disagree. We get in the church, and we're quiet, and we want to be reverent. You know, I can't find anywhere in the New Testament where it mentions. Now, there's a sense of order. Hear me. In the Old Testament, it says David came marching into the city of Jerusalem. They were playing cymbals and lyres. They were playing drums and guitars. And they were singing loud. And they were praising and jumping and doing all those things. Now, if you go in a church nowadays and they're praising and jumping, they probably are charismatics. Right, Tammy? That's what we Baptists call them. Passion. We get the idea that you're supposed to go in church and be reverent. You know, that's nowhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament. It's not. The day Peter preached, 3,000 people got saved. Now, I'm not saying that crazy. Please hear me. But Jesus says that we're to be fully alive. He was crystal clear about living with passion. I want you to look at John 10:10, what Jesus said. John 10:10. Jesus was crystal clear about his call for us to live a life with passion. Now, passion doesn't mean act like an idiot, but it also doesn't mean that when you walk out of church or you walk into church or somebody sees you in town and they find out you're a Christian and it looks like you've been sucking on a persimmon, a green one. You ever sucked on a green persimmon? I have never had persimmon pudding. I told somebody that. You want to know why? Because as a 10-year-old, walking home from East Lawn Elementary School, one of my buddies dared me to bite into a green persimmon. Thank you, Jesus. Wow! I have never, and I like lemons and limes. It sucked the pure life out of me. Ever since then, I wouldn't eat if it tasted anything like that. I want nothing to do with it. Some of you are going, it doesn't taste that way. But I run into Christians all the time. Looks like they've been sucking on lemons. They got a coffin under one arm and a tombstone under. How you doing? I'm not doing too good. I love getting around Christians. I love doing this with Rose's mother. I'm glad she's not here. Used to be Rose's mother and her aunt. Now it's me and Rose. You have an organ recital of what's going on wrong with you. Oh, the hip hurts and the back hurts and the neck hurts. Some of you looking at me, you know, just wait. You'll get there, okay? Summer, just wait. You'll get there. It's coming. Okay? Listen to what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, I've come that you might have life. And he's talking about the devil comes to steal everything. He said, but I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Passion. Mark 12:30-31. I want you to look at that. Mark 12:30-31. Listen to what Jesus said about passion. This is known as the great commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but when he says to love God, you're just supposed to love God a little bit. Oh, I just love Jesus. He said, with all of your being. Jesus is crystal clear that the Christian life is a life full of passion. It's not a passion. It's not to complain or to be dead. Listen, I was once dead, but I'm now promised full life. I'm looking forward to laying this old butt. My left hip hurts today because I was born with a birth defect. No, it wasn't in my brain, in my back. And it really has bothered me, and I see the doctor about it. I don't talk a lot about it, but my left hip hurts. And it's not my hip. It's really in the spondylo area. But getting up down these steps is not easy. And I could sit there and go, oh. But you know what? I'm alive. I'm looking down to laying down this old body of mine. But listen. Jesus says that we're to be alive. We're to be passionate. And he spoke very clearly about when we're not. That's found in the book of Revelation. I want you to turn there to Revelation 3:16. In fact, the absence of passion in believers makes Jesus sick. People go, well, what makes Jesus sick? Sin? No, he died for sin. What makes Jesus sick? I'll show you exactly what Jesus himself said makes me sick. In Revelation 3:16, he's talking about the church at Laodicea. In the first part of Revelation, Jesus has written to seven churches. He's written a message to the seven churches. When we get to verse 16, he's talking about, let's just start at 14. He says, to the angelos of the church in Laodicea, write, the amen, the faithful, the true, the witness, the beginning and the creation of God says this. In other words, he said, listen up, church. This is Jesus talking. This isn't the preacher talking. This is the Lord talking. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, if you go back to the Greek, he says, I'm going to vomit you. And I'm not trying to make you sick right here for lunch. The absence of passion about what we're doing. Well, how's your church doing? Well, we're just getting along. Folks, we got more churches in this country closing every week because they decided they'd just get along. And finally, to just get along, got up and went. Look around you this morning. I tried to do it now. They're usually here, but wasn't it strange for the children's offering to have four, maybe five? When we've had as many as... And it's just because they're not here. What if they weren't here? Passion. Passion. Jesus says, the absence of passion in believers makes me sick. The great theologian C.S. Lewis said, Christianity not being important, not being the focus of your life. Why is it that we'll holler for our basketball team or football team or the Braves or the Yankees or this or that? We'll just get so worked up. But when it comes to serving our Lord, we're kind of, okay. Yeah, well, I got time. You know what Jesus is saying to most of us? You make me sick. People go, well, that's not nice preaching. He said it, I did. Talk to him about William Booth. Most of you know. Anybody know who William Booth was? I know Mary probably does. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, Christian organization. Listen to what William Booth said. The greatest danger of the coming century, and he's talking about us, will be Christianity without the Holy Spirit's power. It'll be little regard for Christ. It'll be forgiveness without repentance. It'll be salvation without changed lives. Now get this, when William Booth said, it'll be politics without God. Oh no! They've gone to med. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. That's right. The Constitution says that the state should not be telling the church what to do. That's exactly what it says. And it'll be heaven without any sense of hell. Nothing great is done without passion. Why is it that in our operation we're living and acting without passion? Folks, I've been doing this a long time. And I'm going to tell you, I can count not enough on my hands of the people that are passionate about the Lord's work. Oh yeah, they come to church and they like, you know, I like my church. I don't want anything to change. I like my church just the way it is. I am so glad. Oh, I'm so glad the church has changed over the years. Any of you glad the church changed over the years? You wouldn't raise your hand for that. But do you realize that about 400 years ago, that was the most damnable instrument in the world? You didn't have them things in churches. You didn't. That was a damnable instrument. Those were in pool halls and bars. You know what they used to do? They used to sing psalms and Gregorian chants. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Some people freak out because we sing a contemporary song in church nowadays and we kind of move your feet a little and you want to get... You shouldn't do that. They didn't do that. Yeah, Peter and Peter played the piano and James played the organ in the first church in Jerusalem. Change. Passion. Why is it that we've become so many churches like Laodicea? Why is it that we're just, folks, we need passion. Romans 12:11, if you will look with me. Nothing great has ever been done without passion. I've asked you, why is it so many of our churches and so many believers, they have passion? If you get them talking about, if you get me talking about Carolina, and I'm passionate about the church, you get me talking about Carolina or about this or that, you can tell I'm passionate. Or you get somebody talking about their terror about their favorite, their favorite NASCAR driver, man, they'll fight you. They're passionate. But in Romans 12:11, again, being fully alive, folks, we are the people of the resurrection, being fully alive. Romans 12, verse 11 says, listen to what in 10 he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to the one another, not lagging behind in diligence, but what does he say here? Fervent in spirit. Now, if I were to tell you that we need to be fervent in spirit, what does that mean? Well, I got good news for you. That probably made you feel bad. There's 6 ways to rekindle, to keep, rekindle, or recapture your passion. And I'm going to tell you, most churches don't want to recapture their passion. They don't want to because they like it the way it is. If you like Holloway's the way it does things and has always done things, that's fine. But I want to remind you of something that Jesus will remind you of when you get to heaven. Church is not about you. Now, I never get an amen for that one. The church is not about you. We are here to worship the Lord and to put Him first and to love Him fervently and to do and whatever. And then we're to reach the community.
Amen.
And if we're not reaching the community, we're not doing what Jesus told us to do. And part of the reason we're not reaching the community is because they don't think or act the way we do. I get really tickled when people nowadays, and where's Kendra? Kendra, go out. Kendra here. Kendra, if you can hear me, I'm meddling. Kendra asked me if I'm preaching today, I'm meddling. I really love it when people criticize the new contemporary music. They said it's just 7 words in a row. You ever heard that? Some of you, yeah, it's just 7 words in a row, sung over and over and over. Any of you ever heard of Billy Graham?
Just as I am without one plea.
2nd verse.
Just as I am without one plea.
3rd verse.
Just as I am without one plea.
Amazing grace. 2nd verse.
Amazing grace.
How's it different? How do we rekindle our passion? Folks, I want to tell you, I'm 61, heading towards 62 years old. And I really believe, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know many who do believe this. I believe that the greatest days of the church can be in front of it instead of behind it. I'm so tired of hearing about the good old days. The good old days weren't that good. Any of you that like the good old days, trade in your flat screen, trade in your cell phone, trade in your washing machine, trade in your color TV, trade in your microwave. Any of you ready to give those up and go back to the good old days? I tell you what, my grandmother cooked on the wood stove. I'm talking about the old cast. There ain't nothing in the world make a biscuit that good. Amen. Now, I'll take that part of the good old days. But let me get out of meddling and move on. Number one, think, act, and live young. People go, well, listen, I hope that however long I live, that my body doesn't feel real young anymore, but my spirit is still young. And I'm going to be young. And I know I drive some of you crazy at times because I don't act reverent enough or mature. I'm going to act young. You want to know why? Look at there, Matthew 18:3. What did Jesus say? Let's see what Jesus said in Matthew 18:3. Let's see what the scripture says. Think, act, and live young. You know, I love that phrase, you're only as old as you feel. And I love the one where if we were to talk to our children in here and we go, you know, there's a guy 65, I read his obituary. Man, he was old. Any of you in here over 65? You feel old yet? See? But do you still feel somewhat young, Frank? You still breathing, still going, aren't you? We used to think 65 was old. I kind of think it's young, don't we? Real young. 18:3. Listen to what Jesus said. Unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What is it? Is he saying that we all act like children? No, it doesn't mean. And everybody will go, well, the scripture says you're supposed to mature in the Lord. Just listen to me just a moment. The idea of thinking, acting, and living young is the idea that life is still happening. If you're sitting in your chair during the week, if you're sitting in your pew today, you're going, oh, Lord Jesus, come, I'm ready to go. Then I pray you get your prayer answered, because I don't need you in the way, okay? But they're more of just kind of sitting around waiting for the rapture or waiting for death. No more life, no more this, no more. Think, act, and live. Yeah, why? How many people think God is old? You're scared to answer that one, aren't you? When we think of God, most of us go, God's got to be old. Old crusty dude up there sitting on his throne and, you know, just kind of looking out and stuff. God came as a baby when he came to earth. He said that you need to live, act, and feel young. Why? Because life is still in breath. As long as you can draw breath, you can do something for the Lord.
Amen.
Rosalind Carter and her husband Jimmy, former president. He's got, you know, you don't have to agree with his politics or anything. Here's Jimmy Carter in his 80s out working on Habitat for Humanity, homes. We, in some of our churches, can mention the idea that somebody needs a ramp, and we've got to pay somebody else to go build it because we can't do it. Now, here's a man in his late, you know, 80s just still vibrant. Why? Because he's adopted this person. You want to rekindle your passion. Do that. Second, be willing to die. Now, you just told us to live. Now you want us to die. I know I'm confusing. I've been that way most of my life. Matthew 16:29. This is where I'm going to go from meddling really to preaching. We may not get out of here until after 1 o'clock. Jesus is talking about being one of his followers. Listen to what he says in Matthew 16:25. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Romans 6:11. Again. Romans 6:11. Jesus is saying you've got to be willing to die to yourself to live for me. Romans 6:11. I didn't mark my Bible. I'm having trouble turning this morning. Romans 6:11. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1-2. Present your bodies to God as a living and holy sacrifice. What does all this mean? What does it mean that if you want to rediscover your passion for the Lord's work and for the Lord, that you need to be willing to die? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the whole idea is we are to die to self and to die to what we want. The famous last words of every Baptist church, because I've been a Baptist, is we never done it that way before. Or we thought about it and we decided we didn't want to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is high time that we die to self and we understand it is not what you and I like and want. It is about serving the Lord and getting out there in a community and finding out what reaches them.
Amen.
Belts, Walmart, Food Line, Harris Teeter, Aldi. You know why they're able to operate? Anybody understand why they're still able to operate? Because they found out what people need and want. In the church, the world out there tells us that this is the way. And I tell folks, you know, there's some people that love and hate. No, I'm not pushing the contemporary movement. But I'm telling you, I love contemporary music. Why?
Because I see how it's reaching people. You go, that's not that. Listen, it doesn't have to be your thing. Any of you like bluegrass? I wish Tom was here today. He'd stand up and holler with me. I just don't dig bluegrass. It's not my thing. But I'll listen to them. And if you told me that us having the choir sing bluegrass music every Sunday would help people come to know the Lord, I'd go sing it all day long. Die to self. That's, Jesus said, if you want to become passionate about me, you need to get your focus on me. That leads us to the third one. Stop depending on yourself, John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. In most of our Baptist churches, we make decisions on what the budget can handle or what we think we can do or just whether we got the courage to do it or not. Jesus said, I am the vine. He's describing his Father. What he's talking about is a grapevine. He's talking about a tree. Any of you ever pruned, taken, well, even with your flowers, with your rose bushes, when you cut the rose off the bush and put it in a little water, how long does it last?
Not long.
Why?
Because it's dying. I just put it in there.
Because you cut it off from the light source. Jesus here is describing, he says, I'm the vine, you're just a branch. I want to tell some of you, you're just branch. We run around acting like we vines. And he says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Stop depending on yourself, on what you can do. In most of our churches, in this church we do, well, I'm not sure we can afford that. Let me tell you something. The Jesus you claim to love and to serve owns the cows on 1,000 hills. He said, if I want it, hell itself can't stop me from giving it to you. The problem is we go, well, we're not going to ask it. We can or we can't do that. We need to stop depending on self. We need to stop saying we can't or I can't and ask God if He can. And guess what? He can. Stop depending on ourselves. And number four, this is where we're going to end today. I know some of you are concerned. Get connected and stay connected. In John 15:5, he's describing the branch. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We want to accomplish something from the Lord? Stay connected to the Lord. How many of you love putting... Now, nowadays they come on the Christmas... I love the new Christmas trees with the lights built in. Don't y'all like that? I got one of the first ones came out. We used to have a real one forever, and then we got one of those artificial trees, and we got one that had the lights already on it, and you plug it in, and lights came on, but there was a problem. If one of the lights burn out, or if one of the lights starts doing that, what's going to happen to your tree? Tell me, Greg. He's going dead as a hammer, isn't he? That's the way a lot of Christians are. Or if I were to go home, Robbie, cut it. All right, you can cut it back on now. If we cut the power, the lights go out, and it's at night. Jesus said you must stay. If you want to live a life of passion, you've got to stay connected to the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you a question in closing, and this is our closing question. And we're going to finish this message next week. Are you as close to God as you used to be? Are you as close to God as you used to be? If you can say yes, that's wonderful. I'm not trying to get you to feel bad. Yeah, I'm closer to the Lord than I ever been in my life, and I'm loving it. But if you're going, no. Or if you're going, you know, I remember when you remember when you first saved? Boy, when you first saved, you can't wait to tell people what happened to you. I can't tell it because of what he did, but a guy came down and joined the church. Got saved, and the preacher said, are you happy about it? And the preacher didn't filter it, and I can't say what he said, but he said, heck yes. The preacher just fainted right back. You see, that was just the beginning. That fellow had just gotten connected. You want to have a passionate life. We want to be a passionate church. You want to be a passionate Christian. Most of us don't, because we kind of like where we are. Think, act, and live young. God's not old. The same God that spoke to a slave trader about the wonderful song, Amazing Grace, is the same God that gave New Song, that wonderful song we played last Sunday, which was continued, that said, "Arise, my love." That same God's still working. When you listen to that Christian and the contemporary Christian, I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but I'm saying when you hear it, God's still working. God's still acting. Look at Brett. An old God wouldn't mess with Brett. Brett's too young. We need to think, act, and live young. We need to be willing to die to ourselves. Do you realize you cannot be a follower of Christ and be a follower of yourself? You can't. They don't fit. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money in Him. You can't serve yourself in Him. Well, I'm going to do my way part of the time, but on Sunday I'm going to do Jesus' way. No, you're not. Stop depending on yourself and get connected and stay connected. Next week I'm going to bring you the two that really will juice you up. But I want to ask you, where's your passion? Are you fully alive? Folks, I'm as serious. I've been preaching like this for years and years and years. I'm so weary of churches and church people that want to just, well, we just want to get along. Don't ever tell me you want to get along. I'll smile at you and go, "That's okay." But under my breath, I'm going, "Well, I wish you'd get along somewhere else." I'm sorry, but I do. We got a whole community out there. We got children here. We got young people here. And let me tell you what we do here at Holloway's. Most of what we do here at Holloway's, I'm setting you up, but I'm going to tell you this. This is going to close. This is really going to get you fired up. I'm going to Medlin. If you're listening, Kendra, most of what we do around here is for adults. Don't look at me funny. We do it for adults. You look at our budget, it's for adults. You look at the money we spend, it's for adults. We want to reach our community. It's for adults. And you know why we do it for adults? Church, you're not the only church that does this. Most every church I know does this. But a few that have really discovered, like my sister's church up in D.C., they had the choice of either making the preacher preach four sermons on Sunday or building a new children's building. They built a $2 million children's building. They tripled the size of their church. Now, they weren't trying to just grow. They just said, "Hey, we care about children." I want you to think about this week as we live with passion and reaching people. And if we don't have a passion for the Lord's work, we're not going to reach anybody. Because all we're going to do is stay right where we are, and we're going to be lukewarm. Yeah, I don't want to get too fired up for the Lord, but I don't want to get too cold. I just like it where I is. And you know what Jesus said about that? And I'm going to pray after this. You make me sick. I came, He said, that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Before you leave here today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you got saved 50 years ago, then you ought to go out of here thanking the Lord that if you drop dead on the steps out there, we're going to cry and we're going to miss you, but you are going to instantaneously be in the presence of the one who said, "I came to give you life." And folks, that's something worth hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, I am so passionate about us having a passion. Lord, we're living in a day where we're so busy with life that we don't have time for church. We're so busy doing other things that we're not willing to die to what we want. But as you said, to do what you want, not what we want. Lord, we're so busy in church depending on ourselves, on what we can figure out, how we can afford it, or how we can do it, and we quit asking you, "Lord, you do it." We quit standing like Moses at the face of the sea and saying, "Lord, I don't know how we're going to cross this thing. There are no boats." And turning to the sea and watching you split it. Lord, the only way we're going to do it is to get connected. And then if we get connected, we've got to stay connected. Lord, give us a passion. Give us a passion. Help us to become fully alive. Father, where I've lost or my passion has waned, renew it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's time for our invitation. I have gone long.
This is my heart, folks. And we'll share with you right before we do an invitation. Where my heart is. I have prayed for the last 30 years for the Lord to put me in a place, and I'm not getting ready to resign, put me in a place where there's some people that have a passion for your work like I do. Sometimes he's done that, sometimes he hasn't. More often than not, I find folks that are just kind of wanting to get along, or they're too busy with their life to think about the life. Still praying for that. I'm still praying for that. Ruth.